The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen one." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Now John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then, after declaring, John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." And then the next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." John saw what he saw, and he testified to it. We are living in a time in which it is challenging to believe what we see. We are instead told what we have seen and told what to believe. I've been thinking a lot about our dear UNILU sister Margaret Bethke, who joined the Heavenly Banquet in August of this past year. Margaret was an expert on AI, and I would so love to talk with her right now and help her to remind me of the good parts of AI. Because what she did was that she used this technology for good. But what I am feeling like is that what I see, what I think I see, is not so great. Because it feels like AI can make sometimes life-saving and life-enhancing technology, and also it makes it so much harder for us to really know what we are seeing and what is happening in the world. Now, in the gospel lesson for today, we have a number of testimonies about what happened. People saw stuff, and they reported it. John saw Jesus walking by and said, "Hey, there he is. I baptized that guy. I know him. Here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then John continued by saying, "No, really, I saw it. I really saw it. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." That's a lot of information in one testimony. It's a lot to take in. And I can't help but think about the abundance of information and the many alternative testimonies, the alternative interpretations, the alternative universes we are asked to ingest every day at this moment. What would folks have said after hearing John give his testimony if they also had possession of multiple videos and angles and photos and AI-generated nonsense? What would they have said? I wonder. What did happen is that again, the next day, John was again standing around with two of the disciples, and I do wonder, did the disciples do anything but stand around? I'm not sure. But he was standing around with the two of the disciples, and again, John said, "There he is, the Lamb of God." And because he said it, those two disciples standing with him started following Jesus. Because he said it, the disciples started following Jesus and their lives were changed. It seems to me this is a good moment to remember that it is good and right to speak the truth that we know. It is good and right to share what we have seen. Those two disciples standing with John may not have even noticed Jesus walking by unless John had said something. And then they saw something. And then they followed. Because he said something, they saw something. Now here's a side note, and this may show my age. Do any of you remember the commercial campaign called Start Seeing Motorcycles? This may have been a Minnesota thing in the 90s. Start Seeing Motorcycles. Everybody had these, stickers on their cars. Start Seeing Motorcycles, and it was to help people not run over people, right? That was a long time ago, but it feels kind of relevant today to me. Start seeing what's happening in Minneapolis. Start seeing our neighbors getting arrested. Start seeing our neighbors full stop. Start seeing Jesus. Amen? Amen. Start seeing Jesus. In this next part of the gospel text, after John testifies and declares and exclaims and says again and again, "Look, this is who you need to be looking for." After that, then the disciples asked Jesus, "Hey, where are you staying?" And Jesus said, "Come and see. Come and see where I'm staying." There's one particular sentence in this gospel text that has always stuck with me, because sometimes there are those details that seem insignificant but actually could be really, really important. And the one that sticks with me is how the gospel writer records, "It was about 4:00 in the afternoon." Okay, who cares? Who cares what time it was, 4:00 in the afternoon? But the gospel writer felt it was important that we had that detail. It was 4:00 in the afternoon. Late afternoon, it was after lunch, not quite supper time, but soon to be dark, depending on where you are in the world and what time it is in the year. But when you show up at someone's house at 4:00 for a visit, the host is surely going to offer you something to eat. And then after you've had something to eat, they will definitely bring you coffee. And after you've stayed for coffee, chances are now it's nearly nighttime. And if it's nearly nighttime, and if you are living in first century Palestine and there are no buses to get you home, then you're probably going to stay for supper. And if you're probably going to stay for supper, then you're probably going to stay the night, because it's dark outside. And if you've remained with Jesus and his disciples for coffee, supper, conversation, and sleep, then perhaps after breakfast, you're going to walk with Jesus on his morning walk. which makes you a follower. It makes you a disciple, which means, in other words, 4 o'clock in the afternoon could be called decision time. 4 o'clock in the afternoon is the time to consider, am I here for a moment or am I here for the whole day? Jesus says, come and see. Come and see where I'm staying. And it's not just so that you can have a 15-minute tour of where he's staying and the house that he's in. When the Lamb of God calls us to follow, when the Messiah invites us to walk with him, he invites us to stay. Jesus invites us for supper and for conversation and to take part in the gospel mission. Jesus invites us to stay for the long haul. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I've been thinking a lot about this as we are beginning this new year. We find ourselves at a time in history when the followers of Jesus are being asked if we will stay. We are at a critical juncture. This is a moment of decision. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Are we drinking the next cup of coffee? Are we staying for supper? Are we listening for what Jesus has called us to do? Are we in it for the long haul? Or will we decide that other commitments, other offers, other profits, other paths are calling us away from what Jesus has offering for us? Remember how on the night when he was betrayed, when Jesus was waiting in the garden before his arrest and crucifixion, he begged his followers to stay. Remain here. Stay awake with me. Stay with me. Remain here with me. And I believe this is the call we're hearing not only from Jesus, but from our neighbors today. Stay with me. Across the globe, from Kyiv to Minneapolis, our neighbors are begging us, fellow human beings and children of God, inviting us to stay with the path of justice and peace and liberation and equality and love. And yeah, it is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The night is falling. That's how I feel at this moment today. So there are other places we could go have supper. And there are other places where we could stay, and there are other easier paths we could take. And we are here today because I believe we want to stay. We want to remain with the one who has come to be with us and to remain with us. For we have seen. We saw what we saw. We saw Jesus. We saw him crucified and we saw him resurrected. And therefore, we will stay with him. For his love is with us all the way to the cross. His love is with us. And even death cannot keep God's love from us. As it is written, lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. In great love, Jesus stays with us. Remains with us, in, with, and under the bread and wine, through water and the word, and wherever 2 or 3 or 14 or 20 or people on Zoom are gathered in his name, God is with us. Christ is with us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And Jesus, Lamb of God, light of the world and all the nations, still invites us to come and see where he is staying, where he is standing, and where he resides. And lo, here we are with Jesus at the table, at the water's edge, at the foot of the cross, and we shall not be moved. Amen.